is going to destroy the world.
My father said that one day, if man continued in his ways, the Creator would annihilate this world.
I saw water. Death by water. And I saw new life.
A great flood is coming. We build a vessel to survive the storm.
We build an ark.
Mother! What is it? Them!
I have men at my back. When you stand alone and defy me,
I'm not alone. It begins. When they come, they will be desperate and there will be many.
Take the ark!
Thank you guys for being here. We're going to wrap this series up today. And I've been telling you, and this whole thrust for this thing came from this passion of mine to be the kind of person who follows Christ with this positivity that says, I'm going to look for what God is doing, what is good about whatever the world puts out, movies, culture, whatever conversations, whatever I'm involved in, and say, here's the part that God is behind based upon what the scriptures say, based upon what I believe that I can really get behind. And there's always going to be things that I can't get behind. There's always going to be things that don't represent who God is. And so I'm not going to spend my time fighting those things. I'm going to spend my time getting on board with what God says and what he says we should get on board with. And so I've kind of laid the whole groundwork for this series saying, be for something, not against something. Live for something. Put your energy into something that God wants you to. Get behind it and push. It's Finding Nemo. It's just swim down. Swim down, swim down, swim down. If everybody swims down in the direction that God wants us to, then we're going to be safe. And that is the idea of this series, is find what God is doing and get behind it. That's what I talked about. And in this movie, there was tons of stuff that you didn't find directly in the scripture. But there were three huge ideas, three huge lessons that scripture teaches. My shirt is tucked into a weird spot right here. Phil, help me out next time, bro. You're sitting right there. You knew it. Phil and Betsy Flatung, this is Dave's parents, right down here in the front row. I love you people, and I love your son, and so does she, because she married him, and I was there, just at the wedding part, okay? Check this out. This is a great, great truth that this movie projects, right? It said three things that Scripture says that I believe, as a spiritual leader, in a culture of fogginess, in a culture of grays, a lot of lack of clarity, a lot of different ideas prevailing in the world, that I said, these are big things. We got to plant right on these and get behind these things. And so I'm going to review real quick. If you haven't heard these yet, you can go watch these online. The first thing was, of the three big things that I want to really put my weight into and be for, is that this movie really talked about there being a creator. And not just any creator, a loving creator. A creator who loves you and me and who made us in his image. And when the flood came, it didn't wipe away the reality that he loves us so much. If you think it did, it means you don't understand him. You got to look at the whole picture, not just one story, okay? It also says that there's sinners. This movie just clearly defines this theological truism that is, we are all broken at our core, and therefore we do broken things. The word sinner is a Bible word. It's a church word. It means that you fall short of God's standards. You fall short, and we all do. And that is not a popular thing. And since the movie said that, I'm like, we need to say that, because it is in that truth that we realize our need for a loving God. When we are truly face-to-face with our brokenness, we go, well, then what's the solution? And that's where the story finds its life, because the reality of us being sinners is that God doesn't reject us. We reject him because of our sin. He doesn't say, well, you're a sinner, I reject you. He says, you're a sinner, I'm coming after you to help you, to save you. Please come forward to me. And he let us make the decision to do that or not. And this is a huge truth. We have to know this. Have to have a view that we are broken. Otherwise, our God, who came down to this planet to love us, came for no reason. He came down here to help us. That's the story of Jesus. Okay? So I'm all about that. Broken people, loving God, I'm all about that. And today, I want to wrap this thing up and talk about the part that is just, it's the core. It's the most important piece. This is the message that God wants to tell us through the story of Noah. This is the message that the people who made this movie, they told this message, they told this part of the story, even if they didn't know they were. It's symbolic, it's rich, it's a picture. It's a metaphor, and God wants every person to know that through the story of Noah and the story of him and his family building an ark, that because of God's direction to Noah to build an ark, there were survivors. Survivors. Here is the reality about the story of Noah. There are sinners, and then there are those that God says, I want a relationship with you. And they say, I want a relationship with you. And during that time, it was Noah. Noah was a sinner too. And he said, but I have my faith. I'm putting my faith in God. And the people that put their faith in God become survivors. They're still sinners, but they also are survivors. So here's the deal. Here's the story of Noah. There's sinners, and there's sinners who are survivors. And when you see in this movie, and even if you've just watched the trailers, and you see this ark floating across a global flood, which just as a side point is another piece of the story that a lot of people tried to discredit and say didn't happen, that it wasn't a global flood, that it just happened in an isolated spot. A lot of the people that argue over the accuracy of the Bible argue it was a global flood, and those that argue against it say it wasn't. The movie projected what the scriptures say. A global flood. It's a big deal when you start to look at our world and what the implications of that are. But when you look at this ark, the story of the ark is the story of God saying, I will make room for survivors. You're a sinner, but I want you to survive. I want you to be. And when you see that ark floating on the water, it's not really in. You know, it doesn't have the weight it's supposed to unless that ark carries people inside of it. And it becomes this mechanism, this vessel for survival. And what you find is that the ark takes these survivors, and the survivors last the flood. They live through the whole thing. And then when the whole thing subsides, in the end of the story, you can read it in Genesis 8 and 9, when the whole thing is over and the ark lands, they're saved. They've been saved. And that's the story of Noah. That's the story. The ark is the way of salvation. The ark is a way. It's a path. It's a bridge. It's a door. The ark is a way. It's a step, it's a process that you take, it's a door that you go through, it's a bridge that you walk over, it's a vessel that you get into to be saved. Survivors are sinners who take the way that God provides them. Survivors are sinners who take the way that God provides. The ark was the way. Check this out what it says in Genesis 7:7. This is what it says. And Noah and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him went into the ark to escape the waters of the flood. They escaped. They were survivors. Who made it through? Who made it through? Who made it through? Noah. Noah's sons. Noah's sons' wives. And that's it. Here's the deal. If you sat down with God to interview him for a job. Let's just say that you sat down with God to interview him to be your Savior. God, let's see who you are let's see what you've done. What you're going to find is that when he slides his resume across the table and spins it around, he's going to say, you're going to see something here that you're never going to want to turn away from once you figure out the reality. And it's going to say, just in bold letters, the way, and then a couple lines underneath that. And here's the bottom line. You need to know this. The story of the ark is a picture of God's character. It's a picture of God's plan. It's a picture of God's plan for your life and mine. It's a picture of who he is and what he does. If you interviewed God for a job to be your savior, what you would find is that the way is on God's resume. He would just go, I want to tell you, thank you for having me in. I feel like you're going to want to hire me by the time this is over. But I just want to tell you today that I am really good at what I do. In fact, I'm the best. In fact, I've done some things throughout eternity that you may or may not know that basically show you that if anybody is ever going to be saved, if anybody is ever going to be a survivor, I'm your man. He's basically like, check me out. If you ever heard in like the interview process, if you ever got a job, the best indication of the future is the past. Jesus goes, God goes, you want to check out my past. Because with humans, the best indication of the future being the past sometimes breaks down, but not with me, because I'm the same today, yesterday, and forever. I'm just the same all the time. So the stuff I did back then is the stuff I can do right now, is the stuff I'm always going to do, and essentially, the way for survivors is on my resume. Let me show you, homie, why you should hire me. I don't know why when I get up here and I get weird, I do the homie sucka thing. I don't know why. It's just part of it. Deal with it. I don't know why, but this is my like vanilla ice Jesus. Yesterday, I'm at a wedding. Can I tell you, just so proud of my generation. Okay, I'm at a wedding last night, and the first, you know, couple songs come on, and then Vanilla Ice Ice Baby comes on, and all the kids that are like 21, 22, just go, oh, and they start rapping Vanilla Ice, and I'm like, no, that's my song. That song was big when I was in middle school. We used to go to canteens. You don't even know what a canteen is. That's a dance for middle school children. That's what we called it. Are you going to the canteen? Will you go to the canteen with me? I'm going to be like lip syncing Vanilla Ice Ice Baby the whole time. Even me calling it Vanilla Ice Ice Baby makes me sound old, because that's not what it is. It's the guy's name is Vanilla Ice, and the song is Ice Ice Baby. They just start going crazy. So I don't know why, like, I don't know what it is. Like, you know, to the extreme, I rock a mic like a vandal. I don't know what the deal is, all right? So, he would say, check me out. The way is on my resume. This is what I do. He'd go, you know that story of the ark? That's me. He'd go, that's what I did. You see, I went and I said, I love you. I created the world, and everyone rejected me, and I didn't reject them. And I said, I want a relationship with you. Here's a way that we can continue a relationship, because there's a bunch of people that don't want one. They've rejected me, but if you want one, here's an ark. Okay, Noah, you're going to get on the ark. You get on the ark. Make the ark. You get to survive because of the ark, because of the way. The way is on God's resume. The ark, you need to understand. When you go to seminary and you study the Bible, I went to 3 different schools where we had to study scripture in order to be able to like lead people and teach people. They show us over and over and over again how there is a myriad of pictures, of examples, of metaphors of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. Let me just tell you about a couple, because it is who he is. He has this thing where he constantly creates a way, and he says, the ark. That's me creating a way. That's me creating a way. After the ark, there's another story. And it's going to come up here. It's coming. Oh, yeah, it's coming. It's coming. There it is. Look, after the ark, Noah had a bunch of kids. And then the world kind of spread out. And then God went to a man named Abram. And he said, I want to bless the entire world through you. In fact, you are going to bring someone into the world, and his offspring and their offspring and their offspring is going to be the group of people, the Israelite people, who represent my love to the world. And through that, through your offspring, Abram, through your children, I'm going to bring a Savior into the world. He was promised this. He was actually taken outside, shown the canopy of stars. Do you see all the stars? You're going to have more offspring than the stars in the sky. And your son is going to bring in the Savior of the world. Well, after a couple years, Abraham, him and his wife, they couldn't have kids. Abraham actually went off the path that God offered him and said, don't do this. But he actually had a child with a different woman. Still couldn't have kids with Sarah. Still couldn't have kids with Sarah. And then eventually, when they're 90, she had a cane. Sarah had a baby. She had a walker. And she was like, oh, I'm pregnant. I'm just kidding. Dude, back then at 90, she was still spry. She was she could run the 400 in 55 seconds. I mean, she just could sprint. And she was like, okay, now I'm having a baby. Barren for years. And then when the baby's born, they're so surprised after being that old and waiting that long that a baby could be born that they laughed. They just laughed in the delivery room. And so they called the baby Isaac, which means laughter. And God had promised to give Abraham Isaac. And when he's 10, 12 years old, God comes to Abraham and he says, hey, I want to do something with you. I want to prove to you and to the world that I'm God and that I always provide a way and that I'm always good and that you should put your faith in me. And Abraham's like, okay, cool, whatever, man. I'm with you. I'll do whatever you say. He goes, take your son, who I promised you, who would be the beginning of saving the world and bless the whole world. Take him up to a mountain and sacrifice him. And Abraham's like, what? And he does it. He starts this journey up to this place where they would sacrifice animals. Halfway up, his son is like, where's the animal? And Abraham says this. He says, God will provide. God will provide a way. And he's like, what? So they go up there. They leave the donkey halfway up the mountain. They carry the wood up. And then they have a wrestling match. This is the wrestling match, right? This is where dad strength plays in. When you grow up and you're like, dude, I think I can beat up my dad. But then you start to wrestle him when you're 15. You're like, dang, he is still really strong even though he's kind of fat. That's called dad strength. That means from the time they're 25 to the time they're 40, even though they're getting a little thicker here, they still get stronger underneath. And then they kick your butt. And you're like, dang, my dad can beat up your dad. And the reason you say that is because he beat up you. You're like, I thought I could take him. I can't take my dad. My dad is still strong even though he's fat and he drives a Corvette. I don't get it. He's 40. Okay, he beat you up. Abraham chases Isaac around the altar. And says, get over here. He dad strengths him. He gives him a half Nelson or a full Nelson. I'm not even kidding. This is the picture, right? He probably skinned his knee. He puts him up there. He wraps him up. He's getting ready to sacrifice his son because God said so. And right when he's about to strike his son, his one and only son, who's supposed to bless the whole world, a voice shouts out, stop. And then there is a ram, it says, caught in a thicket, caught in a bush. He says, don't do it. You don't need to sacrifice your son. I've provided a way so you don't have to sacrifice your son. You know why? Because the way is on God's resume. Here it is again. Let me show you again. See, the ark, I provided a way. The ram, I provided a way. It's what I do. I provide ways for people. That's my specialty. Oh, what else? He goes, let me tell you about my best one. My best one, super cool. After Isaac had a bunch of kids, some of their kids, they got taken into prison. They got taken to this place called Egypt. They lived there for 400 years. There's about 1 million of them that became slaves. After a certain amount of time, God called this guy Moses, which means he's taken from the reeds, which means he was nobody that just came from nowhere, that happened to be a Jewish kid that got sent down this river, and this girl picked him out of the river and said, I'm going to name him Moses because I found him in the water, which means he's like a no one that God says, I'm going to have you do something huge. And God says to Moses, you're going to go and set the people free. He's like, I don't know how I'm going to do this. He says, don't worry, I'm with you. I will make this happen. Through a series of miraculous events, these people get set free. They get set free. Moses leads these almost a million people out of Egypt, and they come to the Red Sea, over a mile long, and there's no way across. And they think, oh, this is no big deal. We'll just have to figure out, maybe build a bridge, get some boats, go a different way, Well, at that moment, you find out that Pharaoh and the Egyptians had a change of heart, and they go, no, we can't let all these people go because that's how we make all our money. So they come to chase him down, and they're caught between a rock and a hard place. They're caught between these Egyptian leaders and the sea, and God, through Moses, as he lifts up his staff, parts the Red Sea. And all of these Israelite people cross the Red Sea through the way that God provided. He says, let me show you this. I did the ark, that's a way. I brought the ram, that's a way. I did the Red Sea, that's a way. The way is on my resume. That's what I do. I want everyone to say that with me. Say this, ready? Say the way is on God's resume. Ready? The way is on God's resume. He always provides a way. Always. Years later, Jesus Christ died on the cross as if to say, you don't have to die. I'll die. I'll die in your place. I will be your path. I will be your door. And then this interview, this boss, you, me, as we're looking at Jesus and we're listening to what he does and how he does it, goes, wow. This is what you do. This is what you do. And he goes, no, it's actually more. It's actually more than just what I do. It's actually more than just an ark. It's actually more than just a ram. It's actually more than just parting the Red Sea. It's more than just what I do. And he reminds him of a conversation that he had with his followers, his closest disciples. Jesus tells this man, right, if we're in this interview room, he says, I want to tell you a story that happened. In John 14, Jesus is sitting with his closest followers. This is so cool. This is so cool. Just hang with me. This is everything. And he's telling his disciples, he's saying, I got to go die on the cross. I have to, because I got to like provide this out for you. And he says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Basically, it's a good thing for your sake that I got to go. It's a good thing for your sake that I got to go and die this death. The disciples are just like, what is the deal? He goes, don't let your hearts be troubled, because I am going somewhere that's amazing. I'm going up into heaven, and he says this is so cool. He goes, I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. Basically, he says, I'm going to provide this mansion. I'm going to go and provide this dwelling place for you that is better than anything you've experienced now or anything you will experience until you get there. So don't let your hearts be troubled. It might be difficult right now, but one day you're going to get to come to this amazing mansion. How am I going to get you guys pumped up about this like mansion, this like place? Like, I have a friend who said to me, hey, Joel, my wife and I, we're going to go to Monte Carlo for 2 weeks. And the next time we go, we want to take you with us. And I was like, that sounds nice. I think I would like to go there. And immediately I'm like, how am I going to go to Monte Carlo? And I wanted to be like, so are you going to pay for the ticket? How much? I mean, it's like easy, right? Anyone can say like, hey, we're going to Monte Carlo. Want to come with us? You can just go with us. Yeah, it's 85 grand, but just come with us. You can just come and hang out with us for weeks. I'm going, how do I get there? How do I get to this amazing place, the French Riviera? How do I get to this place with marble floors? How do I get to this place with the undermounted sink, moms? A beautiful thing, right? You know the undermounted sink in your new house? Sweetheart, I just want to move so we can get the undermounted sink, because this overmounted sink makes me think of 1975 and my orange countertops. How do I show this to you? That question, right, of how am I going to get there? Somewhere that's been painted for you, something beautiful, is the same question that Thomas then asks. He goes, Jesus, if you're going to this amazing place, he asks this question. Just listen, this is it. He says, how will we know the way? Ooh, Jesus says, that's the perfect question. That's the perfect question. I'm going to a mansion. I'm going to get it all set up for you guys. And Thomas goes, I want to go there. How do we get there? One of the most popular, if not the most popular, pieces of scripture in the world gets spoken into our world at that moment. And Jesus says this. Jesus answered to Thomas, how do we get there? What's the way? He says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. In this moment, Jesus says, you see, the way is on my resume, but it's not just something that I do. It is who I am. I am the way. Listen right now, everyone. Listen to Jesus. Jesus says this. I am the ark. Come on. Jesus is the ark. Stop looking at the story of Noah like you've looked at it in the past. It's not a wooden boat. It's not gopher wood. It's not tar. It's Jesus saying, I want survivors. If you want to survive, get on the ark. When you hear the story of the ram caught in a thicket, be advised. This is not what you thought. This is not just a fun story. This is not just some fairy tale. This is Jesus showed up and said, I'm taking your son's place. I'm the way. You need to hear it. When the Israelites were up against death and the waters parted, the supernatural power in that moment that caused a river to split so that a million people could walk across it to safety and be survivors. That was Jesus. The ground that they walked upon to survive it was Jesus. Jesus is the way. When he went to the cross, he said, I'm your way. I'm your truth. I'm your life. You place your faith in me the way that someone might get on an ark, the way that someone might hope that a ram shows up, the way that you might need a passageway for salvation through the Red Sea being followed by Egyptians. I'm that. I am that. You want to go to Monte Carlo? You go through me. You embrace me. The way is on God's resume. Now, this message right here, Jesus is the way. This is the oldest message in the past 2,000 years. This message has been preached since the beginning. As soon as Jesus left the planet, a bunch of guys started to follow him and started to teach and preach. They didn't even know what they were doing. They were just Jewish men that now decided to follow Jesus, and they told the story of the Old Testament and correlated it to Jesus. One of these men who told the exact same sermon that I'm telling right now, his name was Stephen, he told the message of Jesus, he told the message of salvation, and they killed him for it. And then for the past 2,000 years, people have just been telling this story, right? I mean, parents, right, if you're over 40, you remember when Billy Graham came to town to Clipper Stadium? You remember? And he did the crusade, the Billy Graham crusade, that was like the end of his crusade. He had been doing that for 40 years, telling this story. Jesus is the way. You went to church growing up. You heard some pastor get up there and go, you got to give your life to Jesus. You need him. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. You might even have heard some people do it in such a way to scare you. And you might have heard the story that Jesus is the way, and you've heard it. You're like, I get that Jesus is the way. I get that Jesus is the way, but I have questions. I have questions. And what has happened is your questions have stopped you from taking the way. Your questions have stopped you, and they're good questions. Like, they're questions that I actually have now, still. Why did God make the world round? Why is the earth 93 million miles away from the sun? Why did God give us two eyes and two legs and two arms and one nose? Why did he do it that way? Wait a minute. Why did he create a garden for the first two people that were created in his image to follow him? And then he said, you can eat everything, but this one is like God tempted them. It's God's fault. He put this beautiful temptation. Why did he do it that way? And then she ate it, and then they were sinners? What? I don't understand why there ever have to be sin. Why there ever have to be the fall? Why there ever have to be good and bad? Why, God, why did you do it this way? Yeah, I understand that you're the way. God, you flooded the earth. The people were violent. Where did violence come from? Has anybody ever wrestled with the origin of evil? Wait a minute. If evil exists, where'd it come from? Well, it's the absence of God. Well, that doesn't make sense to me. Maybe that's you. God, you're real? You say you're the way? I have questions. Tons of questions. 66 books in this Bible that you say that I'm supposed to read, that people try to eloquently sell me as the love letter from God? Well, what happened to all the other letters that I've heard about in school when I went to that school that taught me that there was other things written at the same time, and then a bunch of guys 300 years after the time of Christ decided to put that in a book? What is that? Who are they? What about the historical inaccuracies? What about evolution? Come on, evolution, we got proof, right? You have questions. You have great questions. How about these kind of questions? Why did I lose my job? Why is someone in my family sick? Why am I sick? Where does sickness come from? God, you made sickness. It's your fault. Why would I accept your way? God, if you're going to bring this fire after the flood, no more flood, but fire's coming. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. It's going to happen again. It's just different. God's patient. Why are you bringing fire? Why'd you do it that way? Can I tell you, you need to hear this. You need to hear this. At 514 Church, questions are good. Doubt is fine. You can doubt. You can ask all kinds of questions. You can sit there and go, I don't know. I got questions all day long. And I'm going to tell you this, that I don't know the answer to all your questions. That we don't know why. We don't know. We have no clue why things are done the way they did. We don't know. You think I've gotten in the mind of God? I said, now, God, why did you make a tiger? Tell me. I don't know. Plenty of great questions. But you have to hear this piece of logic. If you have questions, but you've heard the way, I advise you to take the way. Let me just illustrate this for you. Last week, there was a bunch of tornado sirens, right? A bunch of tornado sirens. Said on the TV in my kitchen, take cover. 2 years ago, this is in my basement. And we had a major storm come through town, and it's in the middle of the night, and I'm just one of those guys, like, I had seen a tornado over on Central College back in, like, 2007. I saw it. I was on the news for it. It was a great moment for news. I saw this tornado, right? So when tornadoes are announced, I'm like, there's going to be a tornado. There's a bunch of houses up the street that got knocked down from this tornado, if you remember that. So when a tornado siren comes on, I just go in the basement. I'm like, I'm not going to wrestle with why this tornado is coming. You see, what so many of us do in correlation to the message of the way, of the gospel, is the tornado's coming. There's a siren. And we run outside in the face of the tornado and say, why? Why is there a tornado? What's the deal with the tornado? You see, even the meteorologists don't know why the tornado came, guys. They just make crap up. Oh, we have a low pressure system coming in from the northwest quadrant, and there's a cycle. You see the cycle? Jim, is that all? Well, there was a butterfly over there. They don't know why. You know what they know? They know what? Here it comes. And you know what? They don't even know. They put satellites up there. I could do that. Oh, here's a picture of real time. Well, there's some clouds over here that are getting darker. Let's tell everybody that there's some rotation. Ooh, rotation sounds like an official word. Here's some rotation. Let's make that purple. Ooh, now it's really scary. Rotation that is purple. Here's what's happening. Hey, Jim, why is that happening? I don't have a clue. How long did you go to school? 8 years. You didn't learn anything? No. I'm just thankful I'm not colorblind. I mean, this is the problem, right? This is what we do. We don't know why. And the church can tell you we know why. We don't know why. We don't know why. We know the way. We know the way. You see, here's what I want to just beg you to do. When the siren goes off, when God says, come on, go to safety, there's trouble, I've provided a way for you, please take the way. Take the way today. You know why? Because here's what's really fun about taking the way. You can still ask why after you've taken the way. I took the way, I accepted the way of Jesus, the door, the path, years ago. My questions have only increased. But here's the difference between you and me if you haven't accepted the way. You're in danger, and I'm in the safety of my basement, sitting around going, I wonder why this stuff happens. Well, I'm so glad I'm in my basement. I'm glad I got the 13-course brick, too, because we're really down here. Questions are fine. I don't know all the answers. No one knows all the answers. YouTube does not have all the answers. It's not out there. But there is an answer. There is a way. And here's what I want to challenge you. You're smart. You know. You research. You know. You're asking. If you're here, you're going, I need it. I need the way. Let me just push you a little bit to this. The wise ask why on the way. Accept the way and come with me, sit around the campfire, and let's ask questions. Let's swim in the mystery of the gospel together in safety as survivors. Take yourself to the ark. Just this crazy year. You're on the ark. It smells like cow crap and elephant crap. On the ark. You're on there with an elephant. Yeah, things are peeing. Someone just went, yes, and it made me think of pee. Come on, come on. You're on this thing for a year. You're sitting around going, why did God do it this way? I'm so glad we get to ask that question because we're safe. I just am thankful he provided a way. You may not ever figure it all out until you see him, but what you can get is the way so you can actually, come on, see him. The way is on God's resume. Let me just, I know I've gone long, but this is, just listen, 514 Church. This is the fundamental message of the church. This message, right now. This is it. This is everything. Charles Stanley, who started teaching at First Baptist Church of Atlanta years and years ago as an intern pastor, he preached salvation and grace and forgiveness almost every week, and they tried to kick him out because they thought he should teach other things. They tried to kick him out. He kept teaching it, and is the largest effective Baptist church on the globe because he said, this is the critical thing, and what we're going to do at our church, we're going to keep the main thing, the main thing. This is the main thing. The way. I'm going to tell you a parable, and then we're going to be done. And you're going to get an opportunity to accept the way. Okay? I'm going to tell you something right now. It's not true. It's not happening. Okay? This is just an example. It can be a little unsettling because the idea of it would make you nervous. So I want you to be a little more attentive right now because I'm going to tell you something that's just a metaphor, but it's not true. Okay? I want you to imagine with me that if someone came through right now and whispered in my ear, right now in the middle of this message, whispered in my ear, and then I said this. I said, guys, now this is not happening, but just imagine if this were to happen. I've just been told that this building is going to explode in 10 minutes. It's going to explode. Just be patient. There's a way out. I know the way out. You need to listen, because there's only one. And if we take it, we'll be fine. You cannot go out this door. This door will not lead you to safety. You cannot go out that exit, and you cannot go out that exit. All three of these exits and this one will not lead you to safety. There is one way. It's that door. I know that that's the way. I am not standing up here trying to scare you with the explosion, which so many people have done. And I think, and to a certain degree, if I'm honest, it's healthy to know some of those realities. But you know what should just start to invigorate you is the fact that we have a way out. And it's there. And we know what it is. And if we walk out there, single file, starting now, and we take the way that's been provided, we'll all survive. And we could sit in this room, and you could, if you're a leader, you could come and go, well, let's stop the explosion. What's the explosion? Let's get this figured out. Why is there an explosion? What's wrong with the school district? Rah, rah, rah. We can come up with all kinds of things to sit and moan about and try to figure it out. But the reality is, it's going to happen, and there's a way out. Let's go out and then ask why. We can talk about that forever if we take the way. Here's the really fun part. Scripture teaches that right now, as clear as your life may be, you may be at this moment of clarity that you've never experienced in your life before. You may just feel like life is clicking, you know? Just it's working. Everything makes sense. The scriptures teach that right now we see through a glass dimly. That basically our vision of who God is and what life is about is foggy. If you take the way, one day, it'll be completely clear. You'll take the way by faith, accepting Jesus Christ into your life, and then you can ask questions and you can grow. And that's part of growth. Ask the questions, fine. After you've taken the way, fine, ask the questions. And then one day, you get to see God face to face. And a lot of those questions are going to go away. You guys, the way is on God's resume. I want you to please, if you are feeling a movement in your life right now that God is knocking on your door, he's saying, I want to be in your life. Come, I'm the door, I'm the way. Come, be with me. And I want to be with you. God wants to commune with you. He wants a relationship with you. And it's up to you by faith to say, I accept Jesus as the way for me of salvation, so I can be a survivor. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to say a prayer. I'm going to give you an opportunity. Put this number in your phone. If at any time between now and next week you say this prayer, which means you believe in your heart that Jesus is the way and you've accepted the way, then just text in, I accepted the way, and your name to this number. We've already had 4 or 5 people do it in the early service. We had people do it last week. There's people that are embracing Christ. They're accepting the way. So I just want to pray and give us all an opportunity. Father, thank you for being the way. Thank you for being the truth. Thank you for being our life. Thank you for it just being who you are. Thank you for the picture of the ark. Thank you for the picture of the ram, the picture of the Red Sea. These amazing pictures of you, your way, and who you are. And if for the first time, just in the quietness of your heart, guys, you want to embrace Christ, just say this. Just say, Jesus, today I recognize that you've provided a way, and I want to take it. I want to take it. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my life. Commune with me. Sit with me. Live with me. You are not just the way anymore. You are my. You are my way to safety. You are my way to life. You are my way. Thank you. God, we worship you today. We thank you for the opportunity to come together. Please, please, please continue to draw us close to you through this church and through our time together. In Jesus' name, amen.